Association. I've got the information sheet in the office and application form. The deadline is November 24th, so you've got to get your admin gear so to speak. And what you can get through URTA is graduate school work and summer work. And the positions available in 1988 for summer are acting, scene design, scene tech, costume design, costume tech, lighting design, lighting tech, sound, stage management, prop, business management, and publicity. That about covers it. The other set of auditions is the 1988 Midwest Theater Auditions in St. Louis at the Webster University campus. And again, that's summer work and graduate work, and the deadline for that is February the 1st. So it's a little bit, you have more time for it. But there, and I have some more information about this thing in St. Louis. The theaters that participate in that tend to be around St. Louis in the northern sector of the South where I come from, and around Chicago and places like that. Also, I'm beginning to get information from local casting agents for people who might want to be interested in getting listed with an agent. I'm not going to tell you who this is. I'm not going to advertise for her, but you can come look at it in the office.
And we'll have a colloquium later this quarter with casting agents. If you have questions about how does that work and what's the need to get an agent, should I do it, etc. Anybody else have an announcement? Okay. Our guest next week will be Tommy Ada. And this week, okay, why don't you
does everybody know what Tommy Ada is?
Tommy Ada is
No, I'll let somebody else do that.
It's an interesting kind of clowning and mime tour. It's a little limiting to the clowning and mime. It really is performance art, in my opinion. They're wonderful theater art, down and on here. Has anybody here seen the movie before? Are they
wayward undergraduates.
Attracted a lot of undergraduates into her area. And Judy Dickinson, who was hired to teach in the professional office training program last year, substituted when some of the TAs in 251 were out of town and got very enthusiastic about the work that she saw happening in the undergraduate acting class. So this body has met several times, and they are going to devote today's time to discussing with you. That is, there will be after they speak their
one more person on the committee, Betty.
Oh, right.
Jack Walcott, who happens to be teaching 101 at this hour. But remember the name. We thought we'd begin today, now that you have all signed up and paid your money, and telling you what the BA program here is all about, what its aims and goals are, and what you can expect from it. And to begin with a sort of overview, Bob Loper is going to talk to us.
Quite briefly. I think it might be useful not just to talk about our particular BA program in the beginning, but to go back to what I think of as the sort of vision that at least some of the hoary-headed teachers, as I am, had in mind when they thought about a liberal arts program. I think maybe the best way to get is the most conservative possible guy to give you this sort of vision. There's a new book out that's very controversial, as many of you are aware, by a man called Alan Bloom. And it's called The Closing of the American Mind, in which he argues that essentially we teach a lot of sort of methodology in the colleges, and finally we have so little substance that it terrifies him. So it's essentially a cry from, as I say, old hoary-headed teachers, whose classes probably aren't terribly well filled, to go back to what he thinks is some sort of basic liberal arts vision of what an education, at least for the first 4 years, might be. So I give you this as a pure vision of what has been distilled and changed and modified and worked on and so on by the various people during my stay here at the university. He says, what image does a first-ranked college or university present to a teenager leaving home for the first time off to the adventure of a liberal education? He has 4 years of freedom to discover himself, a space between the intellectual wasteland he has left behind and the inevitable jury professional training that awaits him after the baccalaureate. In this short time, he must learn that there is a great world beyond the little one that he knows, to experience the exhilaration of it, and to digest enough of it to sustain himself in some of the intellectual deserts he may be destined to traverse. He must do this, that is, if he has had some hope of a higher life. This is Mr. Bloom's idea of a higher life. These are the charmed years, when he can, if he so chooses, become anything he wishes, and when he has the opportunity to survey his alternatives, not merely those current in his time or provided by his careers, but those alternatives available to him as a human being. And I will simply let that stay. As I say, Mr. Bloom is a man of strong biases, and I think essentially a kind of snobbery that this represents, but nonetheless, it contains the kernel of what a vision, at least, of a BA program can be, and the vision, I suppose, we've worked on as thinking of ourselves as a liberal arts drama program. So, just to remind everybody, before we move into some of the particulars, that this particular drama program has evolved over quite a time. Largely, I would suggest from the leadership of Paul Hostetler, Jack Walcott along with that, in which there was a strong suggestion that rather than when I came, which was a kind of grab bag of a university, you know, you picked up pretty much what you'd like to do in drama, there was some sense that there was a basic core of study that represented some whole in drama. And it also had some relationship, one hoped, to a larger frame, which was the university itself. That is to say, only one third, after all, of one's time in theory is spent in the drama program. Two thirds of your time is spent in, we would hope, most in your education, if you will. So that the whole thing was posited upon some strong relationship to whatever your other interests were, but certainly in political science, mathematics, and history, and literature, and the things which, again, would give some coherence and frame to your own education as a bachelor student of drama. So what we have in our 60 hours, approximately, and that's, God knows, precious little, is some way to give you at least a shot at practicing the art of drama, acting, some directing, possibility for the writing, design, and stagecraft. And I think the terrific value of this is not just that it might prepare you for something ahead in a profession, but that it gives you, unlike any other, well, I shouldn't say unlike any other, some of the arts have a similar kind of thing, it gives you a kind of direct and immediate connection with your work here that I know of very few kinds of studies. It allows you, in the course of acting, to do what I always talk about in an acting course, it allows you to discover how other people feel, not just other people feel now, here and now, but how other people might have felt that are similar to you in past. It permits you to see yourself, in other words, in a situation which you may be foreign to, but which you begin to understand as you work through it, so that there's a chance for enlightenment, if you will, in the most direct kind of muscular mind connection that I can imagine. So I absolutely applaud the work that we have in this practice of the art in acting, directing, design. But it also connects you, we would hope, with a study of dramatic literature and theater history and the theory that lies behind the practice of our art over the many hundreds and thousands of years, to find in close study of drama of the past not just the particulars of a particular time, which should give us pleasure all by itself, but also our own human connection with that past, with the great literature that is dramatized of the period. It gives you a particular view, I would think, of history in that more than, say, the battles, more than the sort of general behavior and so on, it suggests a very personal and direct and popular kind of art, so that you can see how people who would go to the theater, that the theater depends on, felt, what they cared about, what they considered good and then bad and so on. Give you some suggestions of sort of major systems of thought and of moral stance that are more than simply, you know, running through the particulars, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It gives you a direct and personal sense of that from the really great playwrights. Finally, I think, just to go back and mirror our friend Alan Bloom, whose book on the whole I think is an overstated case, to say the least, and somewhat sneering at our current undergraduates and the possible ways that undergraduate education might go. Still, in my view, a BA education in drama to somehow lead us to a greater understanding of other people, of the past, of people now in the present, and in the process somehow to find out more about ourselves. So, that's my fast statement.
Judy's going to talk next about whatever she's going to talk about.
And the Lord knows what that is. I'm just going to briefly go over what the acting sequence is. And I'm very new to this. I've just started teaching a 350 course, and before that I was pretty tied up with the graduate end of things, and so I'm just now finding out what's happening with you all. But it certainly ties in with what Bob just described. The 250 classes, what they're doing this year is the classes are being taught by the PATP people, and they are offering an overview of the PATP training, which includes acting, voice, and movement. I think this is just the beginning of sort of understanding in terms of how people are feeling and how you feel about you and communication, and what's happening in terms of awareness of voice and movement. It's a very broad, general view, but you'll probably come out of there with a bit of a warm-up and certainly some wonderful experiences in acting and sharing with other people. I believe these classes are not by audition. Anyone can sign up for these courses. Then for the 350s, these are by audition only. We take both transfer students who have had a 250s equivalent or people from the 250s who are already attending the university. This class is a more intensified course in acting, a process class, in my opinion, that begins with being, with becoming aware of what your inner resources are and how you bring that to some words that aren't yours and how you make those yours. I know that in Eve's class, she's also working on cold readings. I'm working on people writing their own monologue so that they can begin right from the beginning to see what are the wonderful experiences they have that are definitely part of what drama is about. After that, progressing into actions and objectives, and from there moving on into making character choices, how to create a character. Most of the material that's worked on in these classes are from your time, the time that you are living on, at least the century that you are living in. From there, the 450 classes, again by audition only, a more limited number of people who are accepted into these classes. These classes are usually broken down into a specific genre, like Shakespeare. I know this year a melodrama is being taught by Paul. And what this gives you is an opportunity to work on plays that are not of your time, to work within a genre. Somewhere in here, I think it might be in my class, you would also get an opportunity to work on a bit of auditioning, so you at least have that to begin to carry over. The 450s, I also believe, is sort of open, that it's what a faculty member wants to teach in relation to acting. So this always changes. You never are quite sure what's going to come up. So I think that's the extent of the undergraduate acting program.
Thank you. Judy has to run to the airport, so we're going to let her scoot out.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Don't trip on the wire.
Yes. Trip on the way out.
The wire is...
Sarah, do you want to talk about the stuff you're going to talk about?
Yes. Yes. My assignment is the design and technical end of the program. And I think we all see the beginning series, the 210, 11, and 12, 290, 291, 292 series, that its purpose within the curriculum is to be sure that everyone has and knows what everybody else is doing on a production, on what the roles are of the various designers, the technicians, excuse me. And then in the classroom, in the 210, 11, and 12 series, there's an understanding then of what all those jobs are, how we go about doing our work. And then the practical experience of manning the crews, which is really make sure that every one of our students knows what it means to put a show together, knows what happens when we take our theories and our thoughts and our work and then try to put it into the theater to make that magic that we call theater, to make it come alive. Then I think it's very important that everyone has that firsthand experience of what's involved with that. From the various points of view, it makes you more aware of how all the ingredients come together and their importance, as well as just the challenge of working as part of a team. And I think that's something that's, as Bob was saying, that getting to know yourself, getting to know how you work with other people. That's one of the things that a BA program in drama has to offer a person. And then in addition to those, the introductory level classes, there are 400 level classes in all areas of design and tech, costume construction, scene construction, stage management, and so on, that are available to the undergraduate. And in addition, with permission of the instructor, certain undergraduates may take some of the graduate design classes. So that for the people who are ready for advanced work and there are opportunities to do advanced production work, either assisting or being a designer for major productions and so on, those opportunities exist for credit within the program if for people who are interested and ready to take on that kind of responsibility.
Sarah, there's one addition to that. Until this year, we had a 410 credit that you could take for some production assignment. And in those rare occasions when an undergraduate stayed on here and went to graduate school, they found that they'd taken up all their 410 credits and couldn't take any in grad school where they needed to take some. So we've added a new undergraduate production course. After you take the fundamentals, if there's something that you're interested in, want to get credit for it and have the approval of the instructor, there's now a 391 course that is designed for undergraduates to get production credit for certain production assignments. And it's so new, it's not in the catalog yet. It probably should come out for winter, but it was not in the fall catalog. Even revised.
Lauren?
Okay, I'm I've been asked to talk about the scholarly end of things for obvious reasons, because I'm in the PhD program and because I'm the undergraduate advisor. People come to me frustrated because they feel they don't have any options with a BA degree, and the most obvious option to me is the scholarly option, since what you're getting is a Bachelor of Arts degree, which is a scholarly degree. Of course, it moves as close to art as we can get it in this department, but it's still a liberal arts academic degree. And those of you who are particularly interested in history or in dramatic criticism or in theory, which you get a lot of on the undergraduate level at this institution, which I think is rare, you can go on to the master's level, or as some of my colleagues in the PhD program have done, go right straight from a bachelor's level into a PhD level work, depending on your motivation and your desire and your interests. And it's one aspect of theater that I enjoy, and I'm not being facetious, because it's more private, because I don't have to exercise as many interpersonal skills in group situations as theater artists have to. I'm a more private person. I enjoy my scholarship. I enjoy working alone. That doesn't mean that scholarship doesn't require you to be capable of public communication, because you end up being a teacher or a scholar who has to talk to people and defend your ideas. And that's not easy if you're so completely private that you can't say two words in a row. But it is an option. Just like playwriting, I think, is a more private option in this broad field. As far as what's offered for you, if you begin to realize that you are a scholar and a thinker primarily, and you enjoy that and it excites you, you can study the history series and then the 400 level history courses that are offered that cover Western culture, Occidental as opposed to Oriental. And then you can take criticism courses, like play analysis, which is the fundamental course in that series. And then, if you are really interested, as an undergraduate, you can, with permission of the professor, move into graduate courses. There were some undergraduates last spring in the PhD seminar on modernisms, and I participated with one of those undergraduate students in a project that was divided among a director, a dramaturg, and a designer. And it was some of the most exciting work I did last year. And it had nothing to do with academic level. It had everything to do with desire and motivation and excitement. But that's all self-generated. Nobody handed it to us on a platter. I believe that's all that I can say about scholarship. I'm also interested in how many of you here today are undergraduates. Would you raise your hands? Okay, so we've got 69 people here all together today, which is less than half of our student body. I think that should be noted for the record here.
I'd like to talk about this program a little bit differently, from a different point of view. Long time, have any of you ever been to the Goodman Theater in Chicago? Well, the first time I ever went in there, I sat in the house and somebody was doing a demonstration on the stage. And the house lights were up, and I happened to note, chiseled in the stone over the top of the proscenium, there is a saying, "You yourself must light the fire to the faggots which you have brought." And when I stopped, I thought about that for a while and realized how very true that was to anybody who works or studies theater. Those of you here are either in the BA program, I shouldn't say either, any one of the BA program, the professional acting program, or one of the graduate programs. And what you walk out of from this place, what you take with you, depends about 99% on what you put into it and how much of a fire you light. In the BA program, it is just that. Is a Bachelor of Arts, Liberal Arts program. What the hell does that mean? Well, it means about the same thing as a BA in History, Literature, Geography, Psychology, many other disciplines. It means that if you work very, very hard and you are very talented in some area, you have the background to go on. If you are a very good actor and have worked very hard, then you should be prepared to go and audition for professional training. No way, shape, or form is the BA program a professional acting program. It also means that if you have an interest in design or in the crafts of theater, and you've worked hard and learned something about them, that you are in a position to go on and specialize and have professional training. It also means that if you've worked very hard and have the inclination, that you can go into the academic end of theater as a dramaturg, as a historian, in the PhD or MA programs. None of that happens unless you light the fire. So that program is a place where you come and you have to put into it a great deal of yourself. What you get out of it depends very largely on what you put in. We present, I think, an awful lot of opportunities here. Certainly, it is not possible for any of you to star in 6 shows a year for 4 years. That doesn't happen, but that probably would be more detrimental to your training than helpful. Certainly in the technical and design ends, anybody who shows any interest in any of those aspects as but to step forward and say, I'd like to learn more, can I have a chance? And we find the chances for them. And I think we find that for the acting a great deal too. It's competitive, there are auditions. A lot of people want to go into that. But you are given the opportunity to learn, to get you ready to go on. And if you are here 4 years and never get cast, I hate to say this, but it may reflect on your talent. And if you come and you've taken the undergrad tech courses, and you come and you ask for a production assignment, you're given one, you ask for another, and you're not given one, that may be some indication that you might think of something else to do. But that's life, and that's true in any discipline. So, I guess we've said our remarks. We're interested in hearing questions, comments from you. Robert?
Yeah, sorry to keep you up. I'm currently enrolled in the 250 series. Not my biggest cup of tea anyway, but I'm there. And I really think it's fortunate that they've changed the curriculum so that we're in 2-hour blocks instead of that 1 hour, 5 days a week. 2 hours twice a week, we get to integrate into the thing.
Robert, I think that's a good point, and I think you're correct. It may be a little too early to assess. I'm going to ask you a question, or ask you to do something, because we are not blessed with total recall here. As you think of those questions, would you write it on a piece of paper and make sure one of us gets it in our mailbox? And that way we'll be sure. In fact, Orrin has offered to sort of act as the collecting agent for all of these, so that the next time we do get together, we will have them and we will give them some discussion. Other questions? Yes. Yeah, sure. I mean, there are going to be the same options that you have in any BA program, whether it's theater or anything else. No, you really can, if you're good. If you're really good, you can go out and get a job, probably in the crafts end. I mean, we get very few requests here for BA level professional directors to go into television or Hollywood or the direct. But we do get requests quite often for entry-level jobs or community theater jobs, sometimes even high school jobs. Now we need somebody to do costumes, to do scenery, to do makeup, to do acting coaching. So there are things that you can do, but if you want to go out and earn your living in this profession, unless you are way up in the 99.99999 percentile of God-given talent, you're going to require further professional training. And that's a decision that you have to make somewhere along the line. There are also a zillion jobs that you can get out there that have absolutely nothing to do with theater. They want somebody with a BA in college. And maybe what you find out here, and it's a very valid thing, maybe what you find out after going through this is that it's, for you, a really screwy way to try and earn a living. You'd be much happier selling stock or something like that. I mean, that happens in great bundles. And that's a very valid part of what this is about. How many of you here have changed your majors? Very few. That's surprising. I mean, usually at least 85% of people who graduate from college have changed the majors at least once. Because part of the process is to find out what you like and where your talents are.
Jay,
let me
say something about that too. In advising juniors and seniors who are thinking about what they do when they finish here, I like to point out that graduate school is certainly not a necessity. What it usually is an opportunity to do things more quickly, to get experience, to add things to your resume, which it might take you twice as long working in the profession to work up to. This is particularly true for designers and directors, because very seldom is someone going to offer you an opportunity to direct a major Shakespearean production 2 years out of college with a BA degree. However, you might have an opportunity in a graduate directing program somewhere, or at Ibsen, or at Chekhov, or something. And the same is true for designers. It's, to a certain extent, true for actors, too. What you're paying for in a graduate program are opportunities which, outside of the graduate program, you probably wouldn't be paid to do for a while. But it also gives you the, if you don't go through a graduate program, you have the opportunities with resident theaters, with amateur theaters, to work your way up in this profession through the craft jobs, through the assistant jobs, and eventually to get to the same goals that you have when you enter a graduate program. This is particularly the case, I think, for people who are looking at a management career, either stage management or arts management. There are only 3 or 4 good arts management programs in the United States. And there aren't that many well-trained arts managers. So many of them came out of other fields, out of technical direction or design or directing into arts management, and worked in the resident theaters as assistants, as PR assistants, or as accounting assistants, and so on. So there are a lot of roots into the profession, and graduate school certainly doesn't have to be the only one. Especially if you finish 4 or 5 years of undergraduate school and you're just sick and tired of going to school. Very often it's a very good experience for you to get 1 or 2 or 3 years experience working in those jobs in the profession, even before starting your graduate program.
I think, just as a rule of thumb, not as an explicit guide, the things that you would be auditioned for at something like URTA, all those skills that I listed that they're seeking for summer work for next summer, are areas that you can generate an internship for yourself in. If you're interested in sound, find a theater that needs a sound person and generate an internship around a sound project. It's really up to you and what you're interested in. Any phase of theater that needs two good hands to do a job is what you can do. You can talk to Eric about his internship and just sort of pick his brains about a specific one if Eric doesn't mind. And he could give you specific examples.
Generally, in the internships are for people who are at an advanced level of either graduate or undergraduate education. It's not for beginners. They don't want people that they have to start from scratch to train. But there are a lot of internships that are advertised by theaters. And in terms of the School of Drama, supporting an internship for you, one of the ground rules really is that it's a commitment to some institution for a series of shows or for a period of time, like a 3-month summer, or for like an entire quarter or 2 quarters. So you go to Berkeley Rep and you're working there for 4 months on 3 or 4 shows as an assistant to directors or assistant to stage managers or whatever. We don't give credit for going downtown and acting or being an assistant stage manager on a show for a theater. You do that for the experience, you do that for a little bit of money. An internship is a long-range commitment to some organization.
I have internships on file, internships from all over the country, and the files are available to you to go through from A to Z and come in there and use as many hours and days as you need.
I will say that many theaters around the country from coast to coast look at this program as a very good source for interns. Theaters are generally very happy with the people that we've sent them and very often hire them the following year as a member of the staff.
Is there a difference between an internship and apprenticeship?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
Sort of a semantic difference in that apprentice tends to apply more to a beginner. An intern tends to apply more, as it does in the medical profession, to someone who hasn't finished their education, but who has a lot of behind them.
The 302 is a W course most of the time. It depends on who's teaching it. And it's not this quarter because we have a guest lecturer doing it. But that changes. You have to check your, schedule book every quarter to make sure 302 is a W course. And it most often will be.
I don't know enough to talk about.
Well, I can just give them a schematic.
Sure.
The new BA format is the same bunch of courses. It's just actually, it gives you more latitude and more choice. Instead of a 371 history series, now, 371, 2, and 3, excuse me, instead of that, now only 371 is required, and then you choose history courses for three different groups of several courses. So again, you can move towards your interest more quickly. 302 is still required. Sometimes it's a W course. I dare say most of the time it will be. Occasionally it isn't for intra-departmental administrative reasons. All you have to do is check with me or one of the administrative staff about that.
The acting series requirement is the same. The technical design series requirement is the same. So it's not that different. It's basic. It gives you more choice, actually. Right, I think it's been simplified somewhat in that you only have to get your performance credit for the 350 series. Used to, it was every time you took an advanced class. I think that's been changed because the problem...
So performance credit for the whole entire series?
No, per class. So it's three. Well, it was if you took, say, 450s in the past, you had to get yet another one. Now it's a little bit simpler. That's my understanding as of now. It may be changed. And the audition requirement's still there, but if you're an artist in another area and you don't want to get on stage, go to the audition, tell the director, I'm doing this for academic credit for the experience of being terrified for 13 seconds. Don't cast me. And that's perfectly legitimate. They'll understand why you're there. They'll help you through it. You'll have the experience. You'll get the credit. But if you don't tell them and they cast you, you're bound to do that role, folks. I'm sorry, I don't make up the rules.
I'm in the same boat that Robert did. What exactly is the procedure involved in getting those auditions? So, for example, whom do I talk to?
They're on file in the office. Diana could give you one. This is pretty much an honor system here, as far as that goes.
Any other questions? Any final announcements? I guess that's it for today. Thank you all.
We're not that angry yet. Give them a little time.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. My father called last night, and I have a conflict now that I hope he's on his own.